As we come to church today, if you notice or experience something a little different, you're not alone. Today really is very different. For the first time in 4 months, I'm wearing green on a Sunday. And for the first time ever in his life, Deacon Allen is wearing a green vestment during a real mass. He might have done that during a practice mass of some sort. But today really is a different day. Today we begin or continue the season of ordinary time. And although green is the symbol of that ordinary season, having celebrated and witnessed the actions of Christ over these past 4 months, we're reminded that this is not an ordinary time at all. And it's worth noting that our church year begins with Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God himself, in the womb of Mary. Our church year begins with him, an unborn child, 8 months old, ready to be born. And Mary's probably ready to give birth at 8 months. The church gives us that last month of her pregnancy to ready us. To ready us to receive God. We call that season Advent. That season then ushers in the beautiful season of Christmas and his baptism, the shortest season of the church year. And then we begin his life, his first early mission of his call of his disciples. And we quickly move to the greatest event of his life, his gift of self to us on Calvary. And that event of his giving himself, his dying for us, is so significant that the church gives us 40 days, 5+ weeks of Lent, that season of getting ready for his ultimate event. That, of course, yields the Father's beautiful response. Jesus, having loved his Father and us to the end, is buried. 3 days in a tomb, in his flesh and bones. And on that third day, the Father responds, the resurrection. And Jesus not only walks out with his human bones, his human body, which is forever his, but he comes back. He does not abandon his miserable disciples. He gives his life again, this time his Easter life. And we have celebrated those for 50 days. It ends with the giving of God the Holy Spirit. And having celebrated over the past 2 Sundays, the special feast of the Trinity and the Eucharist, we now find ourselves arriving back in this ordinary time, and I hope you can see how extraordinary it is. How different the Christian life at its heart is. And how that difference should be and needs to be a part of our life. You see, we're not part of a Jesus club. We are members of his bodies, recipients of his life. And so we have a particular mission in Christ to live in such a way and to love in such a way that is very different. As we jump back into this season, into that mission today, we hear the familiar call once again, follow me. And we also see what that looks like, how that happens. Our readings today express a totality of following Christ, a resoluteness. Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem, and he's not turning back. Even in the Old Testament, Elijah burns his cart, slaughters his oxen. There's no going back. But there's something different, too. Elijah used to call down fire and slay the false prophets. But with Jesus, there's none of that. Lord, do you want us to call down fire on this town that did not welcome you? James and John were ready to do it. Jesus shows us the way of nonviolence, which is his way. And my friends, we learn over and over again that there is nothing on this earth that can interrupt the way of Christ Jesus except one thing: ourselves. What we do with our freedom in Christ. To say that freedom has been abused and misused is a huge understatement. In so many ways over human history, great harm has been done, is being done, because of the misuse of freedom. We are both the victims and the perpetrators of that. It's called sin. And it's so old, it's nothing new. Today in that second reading, you and I heard Paul speaking in the first century to Galatia, the Greeks. And what's he speaking about but freedom? And he gives this warning. He says, beware how freedom can be used for the flesh, in other words, for the self, how it can yield to biting and devouring one another. In our own day, we might add how the misuse of freedom adds to addictions. And we could go on and on and on with a list. But Paul reminds Galatians what he himself learned, that same gift of freedom can be oriented toward love, toward a self-gift, to service, to the way of life of Jesus Christ and his gospel, that our will can be oriented to and for others and can grow in virtue. That's a different way. But that is the way. That's the way Jesus himself walked and lived, the choice that he made for us. And Christianity gives us the opportunity, believing that, to reflect it and to live it each day. A life of faith, hope, and love, oriented toward that total love of the other. And as miserably as we do that each day, to do it is always a blessing, always a gift. Today is a little bit of an extraordinary day for me as well. It was 7 years ago this weekend that I said my first Sunday Mass at St. Patrick. And if you recall, that was the first time I was ever a pastor. And I just take this opportunity to thank you for what you have taught me and shown me in these 7 years. To thank you for your patience with me, as I've learned, sometimes miserably, how to follow Christ as a pastor. Today is also significant, I think, for all of us, but for me in particular, I can speak, because it's the very first Sunday of my life of living in a post-Roe versus Wade country. When that decision was made 49 years ago, I found myself in my mother's womb. I was 5 months old. I am part of that first generation of young people whose lives were not protected and who did not have to be born. And as we know so well, millions have not been born. We know too how sad, how visceral of a reaction and of harm that has done, not just to us individually, but to our entire culture and nation. And it's on display. You feel it in your bones, perhaps even coming to church here today. Now, with that being overturned, we have a difference. And we'll have to see what that means and looks like. But we know this. Human life in the womb can now be protected. And more than that, it can be loved. And let it be clear that you and I as Christians have the duty, the responsibility, and the privilege to love that life from its very beginning to its very end. And that's hard. That's terribly demanding. But whenever we heed the call of Christ, whenever we dare to live and love in a total type way that we hear and see in this gospel, we are blessed. We know further God's peace. My friends, let us pray for that grace as we come back to this season of so-called ordinary time. And let us, with great patience, nonviolence, and just a more perfect love, let us heed the call of this gospel that still sounds and that still needs to be heeded.